guess would be that it is some sort of creature that possibly should be extinct.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
As I pulled the drape aside, all of a sudden there were five beings this tall all around me.
Hello, and welcome to the Drive-In Underground, sponsored by Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Hello there.
Hello. this week, or no, we should probably explain, I was going to jump right into podcast. We should probably explain these new things are.
It's the first one of these.
So. Yeah. Drive-In Underground.
Told us we should do this when I asked on Twitter. So,
yes, they're going to be little bonus episodes where we talk about real life science fiction.
Yeah.
So science nonfiction.
Yeah. Maybe. Possibly. Kind of.
Kind of? Maybe. It could be.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about UFOs, cryptids, Loch Ness monsters.
Those are cryptids, babe.
I know. I'm just giving examples just in case.
Bigfoot. Reptilians.
Maybe some conspiracy theories that are sci-fi based. You know, just all that fun stuff.
Creepy tales.
And it'll all be backed by the best internet researching that our laptops can do.
Well, I mean, luckily with mine, I found some newspaper articles.
Oh, online. Yes. Yes, of course. I found a couple of those as well.
Reading the Wikipedia. It's not like we're just reading the Wikipedia article. Jerry, you're making it sound awful.
I'm just saying that some of these conspiracy websites are kind of fun.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. That's what you meant.
So, got something from a 1900s British newspaper.
But, yeah, some of the conspiracy theories and such will definitely be from strange sources.
Yeah.
Strange people.
So, but it's always some fun.
So. Yes. So, this episode is the Dewey Lake Monster and
Gremlins.
Woo!
Yeah.
Spoopy.
Yeah, it's not all cute mogwais, and it's actually based on something.
There's even a Simpsons episode about it.
Yeah, and Twilight Zone.
Well, of course, Twilight Zone.
One of the most famous ones from Twilight Zone, I think.
It's funny that I mentioned the Simpsons episode before the Twilight Zone episode, because the Simpsons episode is a parody
of the Twilight Zone
episode. So, you know, that's how you know what generation I grew up in.
Well, Twilight Zone had the huge impact on that generation's pop culture, and Simpsons is kind of like that to our generation, I think. It's huge for us.
Influences all the pop culture.
Yeah, so Elisa brought to us first the Dewey Lake Monster.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we did not tell each other which thing we were researching. That's part of the fun of these episodes.
That's part of the fun.
We didn't tell each other what we were researching.
We haven't shared
any of our research with each other. When I tell him about the Dewey Lake Monster, this is the first time he's ever heard about it.
Yeah, and she obviously knows. She's heard the name Gremlins, but basically we just kind of make sure we're not doing the same thing and that's it.
Yeah, but we wanted to surprise each other with some research.
Yeah, okay. So this isn't the first time I'm hearing some of this stuff, and so it's fun.
Yay. Okay, so Jarrett, first I'll show you a picture of the Dewey Lake Monster, and we're going to post these pictures, these artist renderings.
Yeah, we shall post our social medias.
On the social medias. When this episode drops, but I want Jarrett right now to be prepared for the scary story by looking at the scary monster.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it look like a scary sloth?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like a sloth Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's really, I like its mouth.
With a little bit of rat, bat.
Bat.
The mouth is kind of like a bat.
Yeah, it does look like a vampire sloth Bigfoot. Okay, so now I'm going to start the story, the research, behind the man, the monster man.
Where is he from?
Michigan.
Midwest.
He's a Midwestern Bigfoot. So he is from my family. Midwestern Bigfoot. Okay, so this is how the story starts, Jarrett.
Okay.
In a small Michigan town where the air is thick with fog and the blueberries grow plentiful. In one of the newspaper articles, they were like, the fog was so thick and blueberries were everywhere. And I was like, I have to write this in my notes. How specific and weird. So anyway, the monster got bigger with time, and so did the headlines, said the Milwaukee Journal in an article on October 9th, 1964. The Dewey Lake Monster, also known as the Monster of Sister Lakes,
yes,
stood 9 feet tall and 500 pounds.
He's lean. He's all muscle.
Yeah, according to multiple sources. I don't think people can eyeball weight well. I think they're like...
Yeah, hashtag girther movement.
Hashtag girther movement. I think it's just they think 500 pounds is really big. But yeah, when you put it on a 9 foot tall thing, that's
height,
not that big.
The height really, really matters.
Yeah. All right. It also is said to have black hair up to its neck, and to have glowing eyes.
Glowing.
Glowing. As if there was light from
within.
Like
he's pregnant. He's glowing.
Yes. It makes noises like a tamed goose or duck quacking. And has a baby crying is what it sounds like. Okay. So this, and I haven't even listened to this all the way.
Oh,
I listened
geez
to a part of it and it scared me. This is the audio. I get really scared of Bigfoots.
Bigfoots. Yeah.
I do not, we already talked about it on Willow Creek. So this is the sound. This was captured on June 29th, 2013 at Dowagiac / Sister Lakes, Michigan at 3:17 in the morning.
Ooh.
And this is supposedly, y'all, the Dewey Lake Monster.
This is by the lakes, you said? Oh. That's creepy in the headphones.
I know, right? It's coming.
I'm going to turn the lights off. Oh, fuck. Oh. This is me coming to bed after video games, a late night of video games.
Yeah.
Elisa's already asleep. Oh. Ooh. I don't like it in the headphones.
No. Okay, so this recording is a while. So
I'm like looking behind me because it's in my headphones.
Oh. Oh, it's angry now.
That may just be normal dialect. Just frustrated. That's the dialect.
Yeah, just their normal tone is angry. Okay, so that's the Dewey Lake Monster. Oh.
Mom!
That part sounded human. That last end.
No.
That last end bit.
You think it was a Bigfoot bride?
You think No. Okay, so I was just about to make fun of it and be like, that's totally a bear. There's no way. That's a bear. That's a bear. And then that last bit freaked me out just now. That sounded kind of human.
Oh, shit.
That sounded a little bit human. I'm not going to do this on the podcast.
See, I'm way more skeptical than Elisa on a lot of things, but I was still like looking over my shoulder in a brightly lit room next.
No,
mostly because it was in my headphones, and it's like really creepy in the headphones.
Yeah, it's really scary. But Okay, that little in bit freaked me out. But, it's not fun. I don't like them. They make me very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if they're beautiful creatures that don't do anything bad, then cool. But my impression is they steal women, so I'm scared.
That's the cool story.
That's the cool story?
I'm saying that that's the most cinematic story about...
Okay, like, yeah. But of course you think it's cool. You're not a woman.
Yeah. Well, the guys just get killed.
Yeah, but then your pain ends. You're not kept in a cave.
Well, we don't even know that about the Dewey Lake monster. Maybe he just killed.
It's true.
We can't just be tossing out allegations.
Maybe he's just a murderous psychopath.
Be tossing out allegations. They're not always the same as Bigfoot's just because they look like it.
Yeah, he's a different family.
Yeah,
he's from a different family. All right. Moving on. The first people one of the first people to see this monster was three little girls.
The very first three.
No, not the very, like, one of the first.
Oh, okay.
Were three girls, one of which fainted at the mere sight.
Oh, man. Of the monster. He looks kind of like Dumbledore, too. Not Dumbledore. Hagrid. Why'd I say Dumbledore?
It does kind of look like Pirate. Is it at least like the PlayStation 1 version?
Yeah. Definitely. Sorry, go ahead.
Like him.
So she fainted.
She fainted. And it just, like, I guess that they just saw it and it ran away.
She didn't run away, she fainted.
No, the Dewey Lake monster.
Why? So he can't be that bad. He had a good meal right there that just fainted.
Well, no one ever died. This isn't a monster where anyone died. I'm sorry.
Well, no one reported that about Bigfoot, maybe just because the ones that do see him don't come back.
So once the monster made the headlines, hundreds of visitors poured into the community to get a glimpse of him or her. Some armed themselves to hunt it. At one point, there was 200 or so people in the woods.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, so insane. There was, like, traffic jams and all kinds of stuff because the town was so small.
I wonder if it's just Michael Moore. I think he lives around there.
I think he does live in Michigan. I think you're right. But a beer distributor briefly offered a $1,000 reward, but the police made him retract it so as not to attract even more monster hunters.
A bunch of fucking drunk people hunting in the woods.
Yeah.
He was like, I won't get that $1,000.
I'm going to get that bear. I'm going to get that money.
Oh, he's a bear walking on two legs.
No, like, it was so crazy. Like, one person almost shot another person in the woods.
Of
like,
course, it's a beer contest.
Yeah, no, the police were like, no, you gotta retract it. You can't. Not gonna happen, bro. You can't do that.
Midwest games.
Let's find the bear. Get drunk first. Oh. So, the city barely goes over 7,000 residents, so... The outpouring of curious monster hunters caused a lot of chaos.
And probably revenue.
Well, yes. The whole town got caught up in the frenzy.
Okay,
then. The movie theater played horror pictures. Restaurants served monster sandwiches or burgers. Gas stations had a discount on getaway gas. And a drugstore sold a monster kit, which had a wooden hammock. A wooden hammock. A wooden mallet, a net, a baseball bat, an arrow, a squirt gun, and a flashlight.
Oh my goodness.
This town is full of whimsy.
They're going to grasp anything that comes along.
Well, I mean, it's a town of 7,000 people. Yeah. This is literally the most exciting thing that will ever happen in these people's lives.
Why didn't the people of Jaws... in the movie Jaws just do that. It's like, shark, let's just sell a whole bunch of shark merchandise instead of kill this shark.
How about we held a contest? The local beer man will give out money and we will sell merchandise.
Yeah.
Come watch the shark eat
just
your
embrace
children.
It. Just embrace it. You could have made money that way.
Seriously, if you have a monster in your town, just tell everyone you have a monster.
Yeah.
And then prep the merch table.
Yeah. Send those orders out to China.
Yeah.
Get that merch just in time.
Get that merch. So the monster, however, seemed to just disappear in July of 1964. Some people claimed he or she never was, since they never saw any evidence. But some people had footprints, you know, cast footprints and stuff. And some people are like, I seen it. And they say it was 6 to 18 inches long, the footprint.
Wow.
Some people claim it was a bear.
What, did the monster leave or did their imaginations?
That's funny. So Mr. Gordon Brown, who caught it in his headlights, though, he said it was no bear, and it had a face like a human.
That was no bear.
That was no bear there. That was a man there. So the police theorized.
It was a man, baby.
It was a man, baby. Oh, my God. That... Yeah, Austin Powers, you guys. Check it out.
Yeah, it's a little known film.
A little known film.
Little indie.
Austin Powers. Have you heard it?
It's an ape man, baby.
It's an ape man, baby. So the police theorize it may be a gorilla, but they couldn't find any reports that a gorilla had escaped a circus recently. So they were like, there's no way a gorilla could survive out here for longer than a report would be around, so it's not a gorilla. But they were pretty sure the only thing it could be was a gorilla, so who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
There's no gorilla registered with the Census Bureau, so.
I don't see a Mr. Gorilla living in this swamp. In this swamp, yeah.
Mr. Gorilla Esquire.
So the U-Trip family is one of the few others that claim to have seen it. They say the monster chased the wife of the family inside and then injured one of their dogs before the dog scared it off.
You see how I was laughing about the lady being chased? And then once you mentioned the dog, I was like, aw.
Oh, poor dog. No, the dog just had a black eye. Dog just had a black eye.
That's still an aw.
But well, but the lady getting chased is... It's not like the lady... Or, I mean, the dog had like a broken leg or anything.
But the lady getting chased is instant laughter. Because it's probably a gorilla.
I like how... like. I like how a 9-foot, 500-pound animal or whatever just, like, goes up to a dog
sucker
and just,
punches
like,
it.
Well, doesn't even sucker punch it. Something that big.
It probably flicked
something
it.
Something that strong. Yeah, something that strong and big. If it punched a dog, it would just break its skull in. So to give a dog a black
it's
eye,
like, boink.
It just literally had to, like, flick it in the eye.
Boink.
Oh, that poor dog. So, true or untrue, people sold their homes for fear it would come back.
People moved?
Yeah. No one wanted to take
oh
a chance.
Oh, my God.
No one wanted to take a chance. Literally the only...
Take a chance on me.
If you need me, let me know to be around. If you got no place to go, come to Lake Dewey. Okay.
Stupid. People moved.
People moved. People moved. They didn't want to take a chance. They were scared. But it's funny. It's funny that people be so scared because the only injury, not even death, injury in this whole thing was a dog got its eye hurt.
That's one of the saddest injuries you could think of.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, like, I'm glad. You're making it sound
no,
like
I'm not trying.
Glad a dog got hurt.
I'm not trying to make that assumption.
But anyway. So, people were scared. They left. And former Cass County Sheriff Paul Parrish was quoted as saying, "It was one of the strangest times in his 33 years of southwestern Michigan law enforcement." He added, "We investigated it long and hard, but were never able to come up with whatever it was. But some good, honest, legitimate people reported it. And after 2 years, it was gone." It was only around for 2 years.
And that's all the work he did his whole career.
I hunted that monster. And I will die with that monster.
Cold case files.
Cold case files. A new show on Netflix. But the references for this story were the Tucson Daily Citizen from June 11th, 1964, the Milwaukee Journal from October 9th, 1964, the Albuquerque Journal from June 14th, 1964, and the Holland Evening Sentinel from June 11th, 1964.
Oh, man. I hope you're not setting a trend with those references.
I was proud of my references.
Because mine are like cryptozoologynews.com.
No, I think it's fun that we have references. I think it's fun.
I'm just preparing listeners that some references are from questionable, goofy sources.
Well, I think they'll have much fun looking at the goofy sources.
Okay.
Be like, go to cryptowhatdoyouknow.com.
Okay.
Okay, so the last thing for this is I have a song. Yes, there's a banjo. Yes, there's a banjo. It's like real weird. Okay, anyway. So here it comes. This song is called The Dewey Lake Monster. And it's by Jimmy Glenwood. Jimmy Glenwood and the Brown Jug Hillbillies. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is a song about the Dewey Lake Monster.
Perfect.
Okay.
Wow. Drunken Dewey Lake Monster.
My gosh, my golly, but goodness sakes, what I'm gonna tell you a story about Sister Lakes. Do all Jack, let me take you back. 64, something came ashore. Summer, bummer, everybody having fun. This whole that thing just started to run. It was big and bad, and it really got mad. Didn't like folks splashing in his path. Work out around. People came down.
He did research too.
Shooting the dogs, they're shooting the deer, start shooting at each other, so they had to leave here.
Yeah, some they're talking real, about the drunk. Brave
ones. Yeah, they're shooting at the kids that are the Dewey Lake Monster.
Yeah.
Gary? How the hell can his name be Gary if he's the Dewey Lake Monster? This is a bunch of hogwash. Hogwash. Dewey Lake Monster.
What?
I like the guy who goes, bow, bow. Bow, bow.
This is a risque song.
Yeah.
Dewey Lake Monster.
He'll plant his seed and smoke your weed.
Yeah, he will. He's my kind of guy.
You're growling, see you prowling. That's just our local friend. Dewey Lake Monster. Dewey Lake Monster.
I hope y'all really like that.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I hope we sold him some records.
Yes. But yeah, there is a Facebook page. I don't know how much it gets updated by whoever runs it.
Well, he's bigger than his Facebook page now.
But all the articles are on the Facebook page. Like, he scanned them and uploaded them. Oh, or he Jesus. Found them all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this guy's dedicated to the Dewey Lake Monster. I tell you what. So, well, I hope you enjoyed that, Jarrett. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's a legit file for the drive-in. Yeah.
File it in the drive-in files.
The underground drive-in files.
Trust no one. I want to believe. Just quote every X-Files quote I can think of. But yeah, I mean, what do you think is real? Do you think it's fake?
Well, there's a lot less evidence than Bigfoot has, and I still am iffy on Bigfoot, so.
But you heard a recording. But,
I like the recording a lot. I like the recording a lot. But I'm not going to say no on it.
You're not going to say that you don't believe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a maybe.
It's a soft maybe, yeah.
File it under maybe. I just like doing that noise. Okay, Jarrett.
So.
Hit me with it.
Did you know that the movie Gremlins has a little bit more to it than just some cute and not so cute beings, some puppets?
I had no idea.
Oh, it does. Well, popularized, like we said, in the Twilight Zone episodes and Gremlins the movie and Gremlins 2. The origin of the word gremlin, it comes from the old English word, grimy, which means to vex or annoy.
That is what our grandchildren will call me.
Yes.
Grimy.
Well, if it means to vex or annoy, then yes. It refers to a type of mischievous gnome or imp, like demon kind of thing. And typically said to be a foot tall, which has roots in old folklore like goblins and fairies. So yeah, it has some older roots than you might think.
Back in the old days,
the first mentions of these creatures come from an early 1900s British newspaper called The Spectator. It says it's the old Royal Naval Air Service in 1917 and the newly constituted Royal Air Force in 1918 appear to have detected the existence of a horde of mysterious and malicious sprites whose whole purpose in life was to bring about as many as possible of the inexplicable mishaps which in those days as now trouble an airman's life.
Why are you a spoiled British boy? Why are you a spoiled little British boy?
Well, you know, people of royalty are usually the ones that read the paper.
Oh, I'm a little boy. I'm a little boy. Give me my candy. That's what you sound like.
So basically what they're saying is the military admitted to maybe something is contributing to these pilots crashing, maybe. But I don't know.
Something has to contribute to it.
Exactly. I'm getting to that.
Then nothing contributed to it. They fell out of the sky.
I'm getting to that. In 1923, another British pilot crashed his plane into the sea.
Wow.
later he reported that the accident was caused by tiny creatures. He said, whoa. He told the papers the creatures followed him aboard his plane and created havoc aboard the aircraft, sabotaging the engine, messing with the flight controls, and that is what caused it to crash. So this story spread, and more British pilots started reporting that this is what was causing them to crash.
They just want to get out of the war. Wait, if I say a little gremlin ripped apart my plane, I'll get to go home.
This isn't even during the war anymore.
I just want to go home.
This is in between World War One
and Two. They don't want to be in the army at all. They want to go back.
This guy wasn't even a soldier. So I wrote a few notes here. I said, so are these real creatures? Did they have a lack of oxygen maybe? Because they don't have, they didn't have the big masks that they do in the middle, like they do in the military now. Or was it just a cover up, a lame cover up for them and their shitty flying?
I like how you're asking yourself questions.
Oh, I'm proposing them to you as well.
Oh, okay.
So you can answer that if you want now or later.
Did they have masks like the gremlins?
No, no. Is this the lack of oxygen making them hallucinate these gremlins?
Oh.
The pilots.
That is a good possibility. That's a good question.
Or are they just crashing their planes because they're shitty pilots and that's just like the thing that's going on. They might have been shitty planes. That's true also.
And the British were like, we got to cover this up. Worms were like, we got to cover this up.
We got to cover this up.
It's all right, you guys. Jarrett is 60% British if we're 68. Offending. 68.
I think 68, yeah.
If we're offending any of our British listeners.
Yeah, I'm allowed to do that. So the gremlins were reported to do these kind of things. They were sucking the gas out of the tanks with some hoses, jamming radio frequencies. They were clogging fuel pipes, cutting wires, ruining landing gear, slashing wings, these kind of things. And even creepier crew members like on bombers and even fighters, they would the gremlins would be known to distract the crew by giggling or growling or roaring at them.
And they roaring would at them?
Yeah, growling, just shouting.
just in the corner.
Hey, why you wanna go that way? Don't you wanna fly into the ground?
I am distracting you.
Hey, you're stupid. Hey, your girlfriend's fucking your friends.
Hey.
You should have went to college.
Look over here. I'm dancing.
Your dog got ran over by a car.
Your parents think you're a failure.
And, but not all stories of gremlins were bad. Charles Lindbergh, the famous pilot of the Spirit of St. Louis that made the transatlantic flight, he was known to be not at his best at one point, and he was supposedly encouraged by these black sprites that were flying around his cockpit.
Oh yeah. definitely reliable. He was totally doing great at the time.
He landed a plane.
Oh yeah, then that makes him super legitimate.
Yeah, Babe Ruth won World Series while super drunk, so. And it might be harder to do that than land a plane. I don't know. Who knows? But hey. Yeah, so we have a little interview with a B-17 pilot.
You went and talked to him?
Yeah, I talked to him.
You called him up?
Yeah, he came over.
I miss him. Miss him.
And he says that these little beings were capable of attaching themselves to the fuselages of these planes.
The fuselages.
So the pilot, he only calls himself LW in every interview I found online. He doesn't want to give his full name. I don't know why. Who knows?
He's afraid of the repercussions, Jarrett.
Yeah.
The gremlins are coming back for him.
He says that many of the Allied plane crashes could be contributed. I mean, gremlins can be contributed to them. So, who knows?
What?
Yeah. He says, they're real all right.
Over here.
They climb inside the aircraft and hide in there or hook up under the wings. I'm sure they were sabotaging most of the Allies' machinery. My father loved planes. When you're a preacher's kid, well, you either turn out a little angel or a complete demon.
Oh, yeah.
I went in between.
Wait. In what?
You just said you could only go two ways, and you just said you went in between.
I guess there's three ways.
And I decided to fight for my country instead. I got wings, but I was no angel.
Oh. Wow.
He is a poet, though, obviously.
He is a poet, and he don't know it.
I was a B-17 pilot. We were all young. I was 22 years old.
Hold on, Jarrett. What voice is this?
It's a little Don Knotts, maybe a little Jimmy Stewart. I don't know. And a little pilot.
It sounds like an old
pilot.
Okay, yes. An old pilot.
We were all young. I was 22 years old, and I was a flight commander. That was the average age for the officers. The gunners were usually 18 years old. We were very sharp, clean kids. He goes on to say a pair of gremlins tried to crash his plane.
Wow.
He said, so I'm very aware of my surroundings. And I go on. And as I go higher, I notice an unusual sound coming from the engine. The instruments went nuts. I look to my right and I can see an entity staring at me. Then I look to my aircraft's nose and it is another one hanging in there. Dancing lizards.
Dancing lizards?
That's what he said. But I was perfectly fine. My senses were in good shape and the weird things were still there looking at me. They kept going at it, pounding on the plane with all their might. He said the creatures were 3 feet tall. They had hairless gray skin.
Ooh.
The eyes were a deep red color, and their mouths were so big he could almost count their teeth. Their ears were long and pointy, and with a small black patch of hair growing at the tips. Similar to the bad gremlins in the movie Gremlins.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Mm.
They appeared to be laughing with their big mouths open looking at me, hitting the plane with their long arms trying to pull stuff.
It sounds like a drunk man. Look at that lady over there looking at me with a big eyes.
I have no doubt in my mind that they were trying to crash it. I managed to stabilize the flight, and I saw the critters falling off the aircraft. I don't know if they fell and died, or if they jumped from my plane to another one. I have no idea. One day, I read the news about a strange aircraft crashing in Roswell, New Mexico. So I say, what the hell? That's the same people that got my plane now. They're trying to attack my country, too.
So they're aliens.
That's what he thinks.
He thinks the gremlins are aliens?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we were young, careless, fearless. We were, you know, free birds. That's how he ends the interview.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, jeez.
This is a man for the dramatic.
Right?
He's a drama queen.
And he did this 70 years after the event happened. So you think he might have wanted a little attention?
I think his grandkids weren't visiting him.
You know, monsters went on my plane.
That was really bad.
Did you know monsters were on my plane? War stories aren't enough in these days.
Yeah, you gotta be like, there was something make-believe that happened. There was a unicorn on the battlefield.
And creatures of very, very similar description attacked a family in their farmhouse, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, I need to tell the story of Ralph Lael. he found the mummified remains of a gremlin.
What? Where?
In Brown Mountain, North Carolina. He was trying to find another paranormal phenomenon, which is known as the Brown Mountain Lights. They are ghost lights. Have you ever heard of ghost lights?
Is it like those, okay. You know, like on Ghost Adventures when that, like, thing, like, flies into the guy's head and I'm like, what's going on in his head?
No.
Is it that thing?
No, not like that. Like, sometimes, there'll be, like, vast amounts of wilderness, and they'll see, like, lights, like, there's a house there, but there's no electricity there, and there's no fire there. So, sometimes people will go out and try to look for those.
Huh.
Sometimes they're, like, people doing moonshine or something. Some people growing weed there or something. I mean, that's what happens nowadays.
Kids having sex, doing a satanic ritual.
Yeah.
They're out in the woods, leave them alone.
But, yeah, so apparently this guy... He is a furniture salesman, went to look for the ghost lights for some reason.
He was just having a regular Tuesday night.
Yeah. I gotta show you a picture of Ralph Lael.
There's a picture?
Yeah. Because when you think of someone named Ralph...
I think of Ralph from The Simpsons.
Well, this is like a sitcom-y Ralph. You think like Ralph. He's like wearing a fedora and he's chubby and he's a furniture salesman. You think he's going walking around the hills in the... I'll put this picture up.
I think he's definitely walking around the hills.
Well, when you see what happens...
Looking for kids having sex.
When you see what happens to him, you'll see that he was rewarded. So... He's looking for the lights, and he encounters a 12-foot orb of light. He feels like this orb scans him in some way. It scans him. He feels it scan him.
Like look up and down him? Or no. Like electronically scan him?
So he just feels it in some way that it scans him.
Okay.
And the orb doesn't do anything. And then it starts going about its business, just creeping around the forest, this 12-foot orb going about its business. And then Ralph is like, I gotta follow this orb. And he follows it to these caves that are precisionly cut for this orb. And it opens up into this, let's just say foyer. I don't know, what do you call it?
The orb cave foyer.
Yeah. And then the orb started to talk to him.
Okay.
And it said, humans did not develop on Earth. Humans came from a planet called PYM. And that planet was destroyed. And we were transported here to hopefully start anew.
Well, good. I didn't want to live on PYM.
And when you look at Ralph again, you think... Maybe he could be a third-rate L. Ron Hubbard. Because then you think, oh, this new human origin story, this alien shit. And then this orb takes him to Venus. Now the L. Ron Hubbard connection is starting to solidify. He meets a whole bunch of Venusians.
Yes. Of course, who else lives on Venus?
Yeah, Venusians. And they're all men. And then through the crowd, they look mostly human, but they're all men. And then through the crowd, he sees a voluptuous, human-looking Venusian. It's the only woman there. And they're like, Ralph, have sex with her. They picked Ralph.
Please have sex with the only woman on our planet.
Yeah. And then they return Ralph to tell the story of PYM and the Venusians and what he did. And then they, as proof of his story, they gave him a mummified gremlin, which he displayed at his store. And he sold his book, just like L. Ron Hubbard, that told the whole story of the trip to Venus and the sex with the Venusian lady and the gremlin.
I love it. This guy lived his truth.
And then there was a cover up. Supposedly, a man in black came to the store and burned the gremlin. Burned the store down to burn the evidence of the gremlin that is actually a mummified alien.
What?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, Lord. Well, you know, Ralph had a good life.
Ralph did all right.
Ralph did all right for himself.
And now, one more story about the connection of gremlins to aliens. This is called the Hopkinsville Goblin Incident. It involves some rather outlandish claims, I must say. I think this is where the term hobgoblin comes from. Hmm. But the creatures are very similar in description to the B-17 pilot's description. So they're saying, oh, it's the same thing. It's the gremlins. So the ones from the plane must have been aliens. Hopkinsville, Kentucky. On the evening of August 21st, 1955, five adults and seven children arrived at the Hopkinsville police station claiming that small alien creatures from a spaceship were attacking their farmhouse, and they had... You gotta stay solid.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. They were attacking their farmhouse, and they've been holding them off with gunfire for nearly 4 hours. They said after sharing a meal together in the Suttons' home near Hopkinsville, Kentucky, members of the Sutton and Taylor families came under attack from strange, glowing beings. Each had exceptionally long arms for their stature, with razor-sharp claws at the end of them. They also had bat-like ears, stood around 2 to 4 feet tall, and appeared to have the ability to float upwards without the aid of a vehicle or propeller. Oh, I wish they had a propeller.
Could you just imagine, like, what they're describing? Just floating around you. Just attacking you. That's,
Like, the bad gremlins, funny. The bad gremlins in the Gremlins movie are pretty scary. But they wouldn't be scary if they were just floating.
Yeah, just like floating to you.
It's scary that they run around.
Yeah, they're like all creepy and scuttly.
Two of the adults, Elmer Sutton and Billy Ray Taylor, claim they had been shooting at 12 to 15 short, dark figures who repeatedly popped up at the doorway or peered into the windows. That's creepy. Despite members of the family shooting at the strange creatures with small arms fire and even appearing to hit them on occasion, you shot at them. There's 12 to 15 of them, and you shot at them for 4 hours, and you only hit them on occasion.
And also, they're still fighting you.
Well, the bullets would just bounce off, they said, causing no harm whatsoever.
Well, then why did they keep doing it?
I guess it just kept them at bay, at least. I don't know. Police who were called to the scene afterward noted that they were indeed distinct signs of an outside disturbance. The incident is still unexplained. The next day, neighbors told two officers that the families had packed up and left after claiming the creatures had returned about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Police and Air Force officers from Fort Campbell and civilian ufologists found no evidence of a hoax. And that is the Hopkinsville Goblin Incident. And that is Gremlin. Whew. Not just a little mogwai anymore.
No, now it's all grown up. So those are some scary monsters.
Yeah, so we hope you enjoyed your ticket to the underground with us.
Yeah, come down again sometime.
Yeah, we hope you liked it.
Yeah, let us know if you liked it. Let us know if it was fun.
We had fun.
That was fun. We liked it. If you don't like it, we'll still do it. You just have to listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for listening. That was great.
Yeah, so like us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, you probably already like us if you're listening, but follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
All right, well then, we'll see you on the other side.
And praise Godzilla.
Praise him.
Even from the underground.
We're just quieter in the underground.
Yeah, we don't want you know who to hear us.
Who?
The Men in Black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Illuminati.
Yeah. Like Will Smith. Black suits come in.
We're hiding from Will Smith.
Black suits come in.
All right, well, bye.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at sfdfdip.